Praise the Lord! Message number 220. The title of the message, The Approved Ministry. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your word that you always sent to your church to correct us, to lead us in the way that you want us to move. Help each and every one, O Lord, who listened to the message of yours to repent and come back to you and turn from the worldly way of serving you, coming back to the living God. Lord, I pray through repentance and you raise up a faithful workers approved by you, people who are not ashamed of people but fearing you, O Lord, and living their lives unto you, Lord. I pray that you raise up workers who know how to handle the word of God, who know how to teach, to correct, to rebuke, to discipline, to lead a faithful and honest and noble ministry. Oh God, I pray that your message will help and will bring healing, assurance, hope, and you will reap the harvest that you desire to see in the life of your church and your people. Lord, anoint my lips and put word and statement and verses so that everything will be clear to your church and your people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Paul was sending this message to Timothy, and he was challenging him to present himself to God. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. He was challenging his disciple there, Timothy, his co-workers, Timothy, to present himself to God as a worker who is approved by the Lord. And also, he was challenging him to handle the word of God in the correct way, to live it and to make it alive in his life and show it to others by deed. Paul also said to Timothy in the same chapter, book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 and verse 21, he told Timothy, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. What Paul was saying is that the person who wants to serve God need to cleanse himself from ignoble things so that he can be an instrument. He'll be a good instrument of noble service in the hand of God to perform an effective ministry. And he will be a person who is prepared and he will be at God's disposal to achieve whatever God wants him to achieve for him. The point here that the one who serves God, if you want to serve God, you must cleanse yourself from ignoble things. The word ignoble, it have some meanings. When we know it, then you will know what are the things that you need to cleanse yourself from. The meaning of the word ignoble can be dishonorable, dishonor, It can be shameful. Something shameful you are doing. You need to repent. Base means very low. Mean. And it could be also immoral. The word ignoble can be also be called immoral. Check yourself. Whether you have anything that can disqualify you from being a noble vessel in the hand of God. Sin, in whatever sin, small or big, it can be an ignoble thing that make you unready and make you ineffective in the hand of God. Sin, bad attitude, wrong character, and wrong style of life can have detrimental effect in your life, can have a detrimental effect on those who want to serve God. Laziness, immoralities, worldliness, friendship with worldly people, debauchery, pride, jealousy, envy, love of money, lack of commitment, selfishness, all can be ignoble things that make you unready and unprepared to serve the Lord our God. We will read more scriptures that can admonish you how to be a noble vessel in the hand of God to do a healthy and approved ministry. Because he, Paul said to Timothy, present yourself, do your best to present yourself to God as an approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Let's read more of the scriptures. Let's go to the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 14. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. If something holy and you make it intermingled with worldly things, it will not become holy. Verse 13, then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Oh, yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. So when someone who is living a holy living and start to do wrong things, his ministry, it will be defiled. In verse 14, then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. So here, with the scripture here tells you that what you offer to God would be acceptable if you keep yourself clean and holy. That is a very clear message from the book of Haggai. There is no 99% holiness. There is no 99.9, either all or none. If you want your ministry to be fruitful, and if you want that God will reward you for your service, then you need to cleanse yourself from whatever ignoble things it may contaminate you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, it show you the scriptures show you how to do the approved ministry and how to cleanse yourself from the ignoble things, dishonorable things, shameful things, things that make you low and things that makes you unclean. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 to 18. do not be yoked together with unbelievers. This here, the friendship with the worldly people and friends and worldliness. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So here, if you are light, your fellowship with darkness can disqualify you. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an believer? Verse 16, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here, the promise of God is standing. God wants you to be holy, to do the approved ministry, and God will reward you. You will be with us as a child of God, and God will be your father as he is our father. Come out from them, be separate, and touch no unclean things. The same, the message that we read in the book of Haggai, the same, the message that Paul said to Timothy, if someone cleans himself from these ignoble things, he will be a clean instrument, holy instrument, in the hand of the Lord, ready and prepared to do whatever good thing the Lord had prepared him to do and to achieve. In book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, it says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You know, it is in your hand. Since we have these promises, dear friends, so it is in your hand to purify yourself, to make yourself clean from the things that contaminate your body and the things that contaminate your soul and spirit. It is in your hand to make yourself clean, to make your body clean from the things that contaminate you. It could be food, alcohol, smoking, friends, boyfriend and girlfriends, and other form of immorality that contaminate your body. It is in your hand to cleanse yourself. It is also in your hand to clean your spirit, to clean your spirit from whatever contaminate you, from TV, Facebook, pornography, jealousy, lies, anger, all this in your hand to cleanse yourself. Because the promise of the Lord is standing. What Paul said to Timothy, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, from the ignoble things, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. I am seeing in the spirit, God is preparing, God is calling you, God is calling people today through his word, and make them to be ready and prepare to be a clean, holy instrument of noble purpose, to do the good work that he prepared for us to do for him. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24 to verse 26, the Lord was speaking the Lord was speaking to Moses about how the Israelite to make an altar when they want to offer to God their sacrifices and their offerings. God was speaking to Moses how the Israelite have to build the altar. Let's read Exodus chapter 20 verse 24 to verse 26. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Whenever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. In verse 25, if you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed to it. In verse 24, the Lord told them to make an altar of earth. It's something very simple, sand. In verse 25, he said, if you want to make it of a stone, don't use dressed stone. Dressed stone means that you chisel it out and make it beautiful. Why God give this instruction? God wanted his people to build an altar from the earth or use a stone without tools being used to prepare it, because God did not want his people to make decoration, because the Israelites were surrounded with people who worship idols, and those people, they used to make a good decorations for their idols and their temples. God did not want his people to make decorations for him, because he wanted his people not to think that decoration will cover up the poor quality of the sacrifices and the offering that they would offer to him. You know, God did not want his people to follow the style of the people who were surrounding them, or use their style of making decoration and good altars in order to cover up their ignoble lifestyle and lack of commitment. You know, nowadays, high technologies and advanced sound systems, projectors, and musical instruments, they are using it now in the churches and the ministry, but these cannot replace what God demand of his people to live in holiness. Churches and ministries should wake up and check the lifestyle of their workers and ministers before God would send his wrath. You know, God does not want artificial things. God does not want makeup. God does not want dresses and spending so much on praise and worship to cover up the lack of commitment or the lack of holiness, or to cover up immoralities and worldliness and corruption and greed inside the ministry. So that give us a very nice clue about the approved ministry. The quality of your service. What is in your heart toward God. What you determine to give to God. That's important. The altar and how to make decorations and other things. The sound system. Yeah. The projectors and other things are not important. And don't use it to cover up your sin. Don't use it to cover up the sin of the workers who are serving the Lord with you. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 26, God did not want the nakedness of the Israelites would be exposed to him. He say, lest your nakedness be exposed on it. One of the ignoble things, one of the meaning of the word ignoble is immorality, is immoral. And nakedness is good initiator of immorality. Check now what you dress with and your lifestyle. And check what the dress and the people who are serving the Lord with you are wearing. And remember what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. He said to them, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We read more scripture regarding the altar, and we can review some of these scriptures to get more insight about the approved ministry. In book of Genesis chapter 22 verse 9 and 10, Abraham built an altar to the Lord to offer his son Isaac, and that was an approved ministry. Book of Genesis chapter 22 verse 9 and 10, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know, Abraham exactly offered to God on that altar what the Lord had asked of him. In the ordained place, as we have read in the book of Exodus, in the place that I ordained, in the ordained place, Abraham bound his son Isaac on the wood over the altar to slay him with the knife. That meeting of Abraham and Isaac on the Mount of Moriah, that was resemblance to our church meeting today. Our church meetings today is we come to God to offer to God what he asked us to do. To offer. On that altar, Abraham did not preach. You know, when we speak about altar, we hear about altar call. We call people to commit to God. Abraham did not preach, but Abraham, he came to implement the command of God. What was the command of God? Take your only son, Isaac that you love, and offer him to me as a burnt offering on the mount that I will show you. That was the message. Abraham did not preach the message. Abraham did the message. He implemented the command of God. And what was the altar call for Abraham? The altar call of Abraham was to disciple Isaac and disciplining him to abide with God's call and commands. He bound him on the altar, bound him on the wood, and tied him there, and he took the knife to slay him. That kind of approved ministry God had called you today to do. Not to preach. Before you preach it, before you say it, you live it. In our service and ministry unto God, the Lord does not want us to cheat. God does not want you to cheat. Some people, they build an altar and they offer to God, but they are cheating. One of those who cheated God was Jacob. In the book of Genesis chapter 33, after the Lord had saved Jacob, he gave him a wonderful life and journey over 20 years he was with him. After he left his uncle Laban, the Lord rescued him from his uncle. The Lord also rescued him from his God rescued him from his brother Esau. But let's read what Jacob did when he came back and God had fulfilled everything that he promised him. In Book of Genesis chapter 33 verse 18 to 20. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Now here, Jacob, he set up an altar. But when Jacob set up here an altar, as we know, it is not approved by the Lord. 20 years before that event, when the Lord revealed himself to Jacob in the book of Genesis 28, you can read that, verse 10 to verse 22. Jacob committed himself to God that Bethel, the place that the Lord revealed himself to him, was called Luz. He called Bethel, it means the house of God, that Bethel will be called the house of God and it will be the place of his ministry. But when the Lord blessed him, Jacob did not fulfill what he promised God. Jacob, when the Lord blessed him, he was not faithful. He cheated God. He altered his commitment and went to another place. God did not approve that ministry and what Jacob did. You know, even he make an altar and he called El Elohi Israel. Might is the God of Israel. But if you read Genesis 34, the whole chapter, and if you read Genesis 35, what had happened in Shechem when Jacob wavered his commitment and he went with the worldly people in the sight of the city of Shechem and he make a partnership with the people of the land. His daughter was raped. His two sons, they went to revenge. And Jacob and the whole church was a big in trouble. In Genesis 35, the Lord spoke to Jacob to leave Shechem and go up to Bethel, where the Lord appeared to him first time and answered his prayer. You know, Jacob suffered for his lack of commitment. And you must know that cheating God and doing your own way in serving him will bring suffering. And finally, you need to repent and turn back to God as Jacob ultimately did. He left Shechem, he left that ministry, he left that altar and went to Bethel, where he committed himself to serve the Lord with a clean, noble, approved ministry. God wanted to build a proper altar for service. Not like Jacob, but like Abraham. We read more of scripture to understand about the proper ministry or the approved ministry. Present yourself to God as one approved. If you want to have approved ministry, you need to do it according to God's will and according to God's word. Book of Judges speak about the deterioration of the church, corruption, compromises going on everywhere, and God was not happy. The church were oppressed, the Israelites were oppressed by the Midianite. Prices high, everywhere, harbors was taken by the enemy, they don't know what to do. God called Gideon. In Book of Genesis chapter 6, the Lord called Gideon. And when the Lord called Gideon to serve him and to deliver the Israelite, Gideon was doubting God's call, and even he asked God a question. In verse 15, Genesis chapter 6, verse 15, what Gideon asked God. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. In the same meeting as we know in the book of Judges chapter 6, God cleared all the doubts of Gideon that he called him, and confirmed to him that he is the one to lead the Israelite to be delivered from the Midianite. Gideon believed God, and in verse 24, we can read that. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abzerites. But the question that earlier Gideon asked the Lord, how can I save Israel? He was asking God, how I can save Israel? But before this question to be answered, do you think what Gideon built of altar is approved and satisfactory to God? In verse 24, that in response to God's calling, Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is peace." And he offered a bull there. And there was a fire. But do you think that was satisfactory to God? You know, many people, they want to serve God and bring the salvation of God to their families, to their friends, to the other people who are surrounding them. They pray like Gideon, and they offer to God as Gideon. They are really called by God. But according to verse 24, is what Gideon did is satisfactory, and that's enough? Let's read further. Let's read verse 25 onward. Verse 25 up to verse 26. That same night, the Lord said to him, the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bowl from your father. So Gideon offered the first bowl. Now God telling him, take the second bowl from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bowl as a burnt offering. So what he's telling him, Gideon, thank you for the first bowl, but that is not the way that I want you to serve me. Pray an offering without facing the wrongdoing and the sin and the idol worship. It cannot be a proper and approved ministry, an altar that you are serving the Lord. Sin and idol worship had not yet dealt with and condemned properly. That's why the first altar that Gideon did was not approved of God to bring salvation to others. Because he asked, how can I save Israel? That's the answer. Tear down your father's altar. And cut down the Asherah pole. Tear down and cut down and fight against sin and compromise and corruption and face the people. It's hard. God in the same night instructed him how to build a proper kind of altar. Build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Let everyone know the truth. No compromises. What the Lord asked of Gideon, very dangerous and critical things. And Gideon was so afraid. But he did it. And he did it in the night. He took 10 people with him. You know? How you do it, you know? He's living in the same house where his father there. And the Asherah pole was there. And God wanted him to demolish it. And to cut it down. And instead of all, build a proper kind of altar to the Lord. We will read verse 27 onwards. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Don't be afraid of people. Do it. God called you to stand against sin, compromises. They are praying for your father, your mother, your family, your friends, the people around you, people in the church. You need to face them with their sin. In the morning when the men of the town cut up, there was Baal's altar demolished and the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second pole sacrificed on the newly built altar. Proper ministry, approved ministry. Present yourself to God as one approved. A workman does not need to be ashamed who correctly handled the word of truth. But God was with him and God will be with you. As God was with Gideon, he will be with you to save you from people. See what God did. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told that Gideon is the one who did this. They were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. You know, suppose that his father will be the first one to react because that is in his mind. He was afraid from his family, from the people. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's call? Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone break down his altar. See how God was with Gideon. When you don't afraid, God will be the same with you. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be intimidated from your family, your mother and your auntie and your grandmother and your relative and your neighbor. God wants you to obey him and not compromise with people's sin. Do not be afraid of people, but fear God and obey him. And when you obey him, he will give you a victory. Yes, God wants you to confront sin and the sinful tradition of your ancestors. And God wants to use you as a noble vessel to establish an approved ministry. What more the scripture can teach us about the approved ministry? God wants you to restore back and support the approved ministry of God. Elijah is another example. Was called by God to combat Baal worship in Israel. 7,000 righteous people were preserved by God and was kept hidden by the Lord, and Elijah was called to combat. God called today to combat. On the mountain of Carmel, Elijah publicly faced all the false prophets and the false teachers. And the Lord was truly with him and supported him and gave him the upper hand of approval. He called the minister of Baal. He gave them one bowl. Prepare it, but don't light the fire. Let the fire come from your God. Let the fire come from heaven and no fire. They were put to shame. In 1 Kings chapter 18, let's read verse 30 to verse 32. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. God wanted today to repair the altar. The altar of the approved ministry. No corruption, no sin. Not to use people and friends and projectors, yeah, and money to bring people. This corruption, this idol worship. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which was a ruin. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stone he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seah of seed. You know, my brothers, you who listen, there's much of false teaching, idol worship, compromises, wrong principles, greed, and corruption inside the churches and ministries. And the Lord wants you to be like Elijah, to combat and to restore back the approved ministry of God. That ministry that goes along His word and along His will. I pray that the message will be burned in your heart to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I will save you. I will demolish. And I will demolish the wrong principle. And I will build up a proper kind of altar and ministry to save you. Paul say to Timothy, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. I pray that you who hear the message today are the reliable men and women who are qualified to teach others and build up the proper altar and be the approved workers and approved minister to achieve the approved ministry of God. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray and I thank you from the depth of my heart for your word, your church and your people. I do pray that your word will burn the heart of your people, your servants, the men and women whom you call today to hear your word. And you will be the one in the name of Jesus to transform them like Gideon with the power and authority, like Elijah, Lord, like Timothy, to do the ministry of yours, aided by you, Lord, by your might, by your almighty hand, by the Holy Spirit, by the confirming of your word with signs and wonders and miracles. Oh Lord, I pray that your message will raise up many workers to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the message you give us today, O God. I pray you bless us, O God. Enlarge our truth, O Lord. Let your hand with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.